This episode of the Co-Pilots Podcast is brought to you by Squarespace.com. Build it beautiful.
I fucking wish, man.
Also, MeUndies, Stamps.com, Lisa Mattresses.
DX Racer. DX Racer. Gotta love the DX Racer.
What's that? I've not heard a single podcast that's sponsored by that.
They don't sponsor podcasts. They sponsor everything else on the internet.
Oh, well, fuck me. If we're going for stuff that isn't just sponsored by Ferraris.
Please.
We're sponsored by Ferrari, Heinz, and Tesco's own brand Super Noodles.
That went very quickly downhill in the sponsor. Like, we peaked at Ferrari.
Well, hang on. No, that went up. Like, in order of things I want the Ferrari least. Then I want beans, like, a bit more. And then fucking instant noodles, mate. Fucking demolish that shit. Something I learned when I was a student. If you bought yourself some instant noodle snack of the super noodle variety, and you can't be asked to get out your room, go to the kitchen to boil the kettle, get the flavour packet, tip it upside down, whoosh, 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 whoosh. You've got some very cheap crisps.
That is tragic.
Mate, that's not even the worst fucking dinner I had at uni. You know the
was it anything I cooked?
No, they were like at the top. Oh mate, fucking yeah. The fucking sweet potato mash. Fuck yeah. Oh, you actually really got me into turnips in Sweden shit as well, so
but glad no, I could help.
You know, my halls was opposite a Wetherspoons.
Yeah.
I once had no money and no food, so I went in there, nicked 3 sachets of ketchup, and that was my dinner.
Damn. that is properly tragic.
It's bad, isn't it? Anyway, on to more horror stories.
Yes, but the kind that are meant to be horrific and aren't just sad.
Yeah. I think what we'll do is we'll do an episode, I'll tell you my escape room anecdote, and then we'll go on to the next one.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you now, as a little tease, I do not come out of that fucking story well.
Good. That's my favourite.
Okay, should we do Van Helsing first?
Yes.
Let's get it out of the way.
I don't think you liked it.
Do you know what? You're fucking right.
When I watched it, I was like, he's going to fucking hate this.
I think I texted you a couple of things. I was in the middle of watching it, and I texted you.
I'll read one of them.
Please do. I can't find them. Oh, here we go. Yeah, I found it.
Yeah. I've just seen the one where I was just like, you should buy Telltale Guardians. Were they texts? No. Oh, sorry, shit. I've opened the wrong thing.
Right, so I'll give you... I just text you fucking bullshit.
Yep. So, basically, the lead character wakes up... Well...
She's not in the fucking episode. She's not in it.
That's true. She wakes up right at the end, though, and right at the beginning.
Okay, I'll give the show this. That the one of the very few things that I liked about the show is the way that tied up. So... At the start, you see, presumably Vanessa. You think, oh, it's got to be Vanessa Helsing. She wakes up because a vampire bites her, and she deals with them and stabs the fuck out of them. And you go through like 20, 30 minutes of the episode in the base that she's being examined in or observed. There's a vampire attack, and I didn't twig that they would sync up. So suddenly, you see that scene again. Because it shows you the lead up to it, which is this vampire attack. And I thought that, actually, very cool thing to do.
I also dig the vampires in this. I think they're pretty cool.
No, they're bollocks. So yeah, basically, she is unconscious. There's been an event which has caused humans to turn into sort of vampires, although they're more sort of like the rage-infected
They're like beings, a cross between walkers... the rage monsters and
a pile of shite.
And no, that's basically what they're a cross between. They're just like walkers that can run.
Runners. Okay, so come on then. So we see a
so that's everything cool. we liked about it.
But, yeah. So there's this base which has been set up as like a safe house by this guy Axel, who is, and I mean this sincerely, one of the biggest cunts I've ever seen on a TV show. He is an absolute bellend.
This is true. Because doesn't he just like shut some people out to die and it's just like, nothing I can do about it?
Yeah,
but
it's like,
he's like keeping a vampire inside.
It's like, mate,
and feeding it.
Mixed messages. I'll tell you the moment that I fucking lost my shit with this show. Is so, we go through, we'll go through this in more detail, I'm sure, but you get to a point, sort of halfway through the episode, Vanessa wakes up. She goes and thinks, oh, do you know what? I probably smell a bit. I'm going to go and have a shower. She's having a shower. Axel just fucking walks in. Just like, oh, don't worry. I saw you naked while you were unconscious for 3 years or whatever it is. And she's just there, cuddling herself, turning away. Like, I don't really want you to see me naked. That is fucking disturbing. I was like, you can't just
wander in. There's been an apocalypse. Everything's changed.
Don't give a shit. It doesn't mean you lose your fucking sense of decency. Be like, oh, shit, sorry, I didn't realise there was someone in it. Not just, oh, I'll get in this shower with you, everything will be alright. And she's clearly uncomfortable with it. So at which point you go, mate, fucking leave it. Like, I hate him pretty much the same as I hated everyone in Entourage. And I fucking hated Entourage. Seriously, he is one of the worst characters I've ever seen in any TV show. I fucking hated him.
I just want to see if he was in Entourage, because I think that would be beautiful.
Well, it'd explain a lot. Also, the way he's sort of directing people, like holding that fucking assault rifle with one arm and using it as a pointing stick. Like, don't fucking point your gun at someone if you're not going to shoot them. Careless.
America could learn a lot from you.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And there's some bullshit dude who's got a knife on a stick who thinks he's Darth Maul, and then there's some deaf twat who's just running around after him. Oh my god, this show. And the most frustrating thing is, I saw that there was a trailer for a show called Van Helsing coming out on Netflix, and it's starring a girl, and I'm like, this is brilliant, it'll be progressive, it'll be a continuation of a character who I absolutely love, because the Van Helsing movie from 2004, probably one of the most important movies I ever saw, because it got me into horror movies. And it was a really important film for me and my cousin. We really bonded over it. And then there's just this bullshit.
It's because I feel like in the first episode, mostly, she's not that important to the story.
She's not. But I get that you want to... And I texted you this as well. I get that you want to give some fucking mystery and somewhere for your character to develop so you get to know them a bit better. What can really fuck off in shows that I've completely had enough of, and films, everything, is characters waking up and not knowing what the fuck's gone on. And like, oh, who are you? Oh, do you know what? I can't remember. Oh, well, do you know what? Fuck off it. I don't want to know. I really don't give a shit.
With that, it's fine if it's the whole premise of the show. I think, because it works with Blindspot, because I've been watching more of Blindspot, and it works quite well in that. It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, but like you say, that mystery, it drives the show. The entire show is based on, why the hell was this woman in a bag?
Also, it's Sif from Thor, and is mostly about tattoos. So,
that's fair.
I don't really care what she can remember, as long as she's still got tattoos. But yeah, it seems like a bit of a waste for
the
Van Helsing name.
A waste of an IP. Like, I know it. Right, it comes up and starts saying, "Oh, it's based on these comic books, right?" But if you call, if your show is called Van Helsing, you have ties to Dracula. You have ties to a historic character who is, you know, one of the coolest characters in Gothic romantic literature. Like, he just knows what to do. He fucking fucks people up. He can kill vampires and shit. He chats to Jonathan Arc about what's all going on and everything. And it's just fucking bullshit. Just another apocalypse show. And I'm getting sick of that, because we've got, what, 7 series of The Walking Dead? And I'm thinking that's getting a bit tired.
Yeah.
And what was it? Revolution we had last year that we discussed as well. It's another... do you know what would be nice? I want to see people getting on.
I think Revolution had more of that than anything else I've seen.
Yeah.
Because in Walking Dead, everyone's always fighting. But that's cool. I dig it. Revolution has like the flip side of that of like people who just want to like not fight. But will still fight if they need to when Mr. Fring comes a-knocking.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, this, I was just like, oh, cool. It's, yeah.
And the reason for, like, oh, do we know what caused this? And he's all like, yeah, yeah, there was a volcano in Wyoming. Fuck it, volcano? What are you talking about?
I think it's a bit light on the science. Mostly because all of their doctors are vampires.
I just fucking despair with this show. It just, like, because I think the reason I'm so disappointed is because I'm so invested in Dracula and Van Helsing and such and such and such, that when something like this is done poorly, and to the point where I find, like, one character incandescently offensive and egregious and fucking rapey, to be quite honest.
Yeah,
I think, like, you know, we're doing that the special where we wrap up entirely what we I know what's at the bottom of the list so fucking far. Jesus Christ,
that's why we only do the top, because
we're not doing the bottom one. Oh, no, we
can ones. This year, because, like, I mean, last year it was pretty clear early on what was going to fucking win that. Entourage, that piece of shit.
In fairness, we're still fairly early. Nearly halfway through the series, I suppose.
But that's true. I'm just thinking we're more than halfway through the year.
Anyway, I have been talking for the past 12 minutes. So, what do you think about it?
Like, I thought it had... There were bits of it that I thought could be... That if you took all of the shit stuff out, like the vampires, the amnesia... most of the cunts, and just left her in an apocalypse, that could be cool. But
yeah,
then
sort of,
but
like,
you'd have to add some monsters. And I think, do you remember that kind of trash but also kind of good, the Hansel and Gretel film they made? Was it Hansel and Gretel?
Oh, Witch Hunters. Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters.
Yeah,
I never saw it, but
it's got fucking Hawkeye in it.
Yeah, Hawkeye.
But, like, it's the same with, like, that. It's just, there's, like, something there that you're like, why didn't you make this better?
Yeah.
I think they would have been better off saying it if they'd had the apocalypse maybe before guns. Because if you're doing a sci-fi thing, you could have just gone, oh yeah, there was sort of an apocalypse in like the 18th century, whatever,
no,
and just had a bit more fun with it.
Yeah, that, well, the 19th century would be cool as well, because that's sort of Dracula type. But I would
But you could have a young Dracula. You could see in parallel Van Helsing and Dracula growing up at the same time.
Yeah.
Basically, I want horror Gotham.
Yeah, that's the elevator pitch, isn't it? Okay, well, it's, you know, it's exactly that. That would be insane.
Because imagine that, but if you tied in like a bunch of the old like Hammer monsters and stuff.
Yeah, just like you got fucking Wolfman in there, you got Frankenstein, you got, you know.
Weekly, but with a monster of the month, so you get 4 weeks of each monster, and then say do this amount of episodes, so that's 3 monsters a season. That's not bad.
I think we need to write to Universal and be like, oi, get a fucking job.
Netflix, just write to Netflix or Amazon if Netflix say no.
Yeah, either or.
Because I think the modern apocalypse is less interesting, because Mostly because guns put you at a range. And yeah. Also, there seems to be an infinite amount of ammo, which is ridiculous.
That is true.
So I think if you gave them, say, some swords, maybe muskets. They can have muskets. I'll let them have muskets, because they take time to That's reload.
Do you know what? I'm just having a look at the Helsing comic, right? It looks like it's set exactly when we want it to be set.
Ah,
yeah.
Then why?
I don't know. I'll tell you what, though.
I'm just looking at what else they've published. They did a bunch of Grimm stuff, like Grimm's Fairy Tales,
yeah.
And some Wonderland stuff, and Robin Hood, and Final Destination, Sleepy Hollow, The Jungle Book. The publishers of this comic know what they're doing. Why did they let this happen?
I don't know. I suppose if it's an idea that's loosely based on it and they sell it as, it's kind of like Walking Dead, but with vampires. Also, incidentally, the Helsing comic doesn't look like she wears a lot. She's dressed as a fucking stripper.
I'm kind of glad that they didn't do that then.
Yeah, completely, but I mean, the setting was just fucking...
Because when I think Van Helsing, I do think more period piece than modern
exactly.
day.
Yeah.
Which I suppose would make the modern day stuff an interesting idea. But I'd rather see if they did it sort of like Last Witch Hunter style, where it's modern day but with no apocalypse.
Yeah.
Because vampires become a lot less threatening when they hoard. Because like they're still threatening, but when they're sneaking around in the shadows and stuff, you're like, that's actually terrifying,
that's
not just a bit scary.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, I forgot something else on talking about the vampires of it. The girl who plays the captive vampire is fucking brilliant. I've completely forgotten about it until just then. She is really, really good.
Is that Doc that's...
Yeah, that's her. She was great. She completely stole the show, acted everyone else off screen. And she didn't have... I think she had, like, a couple of lines.
Well, yeah, because she has a couple of lines and then she becomes a vampire.
Yeah, she was great.
Interestingly,
really
I just had a look at, like, the actress's thing to see what else she'd been in.
Uh-huh.
Her first credit is in 2001 and she is Girl with Tampons in Hair.
What the fuck? I didn't see that film.
No, neither did I.
Oh, bloody hell. Right, should we get off of Van Helsing? Because... Are you going to carry on watching it?
I watched another couple of episodes and no.
Oh, really? It gets worse?
Well, it doesn't get worse. It just doesn't get better.
Oh, fair. Okay.
I'll tell you, there was one of the reviewers of it said, it's pretty good, or at least... is better than it has any right to be. Which is a lie.
Alright.
And as far as I can see, there's no second season.
That's not a shame.
But, do you know, it won a fucking award.
Which one? Was it a Razzie?
Best lead performance by male in a dramatic series.
Get the fuck out.
Was won by Jonathan Scarf. For the pilot episode.
What the fuck was that up against then?
I don't know.
A fucking documentary about amoebas.
Right, I'll have a look. See,
Jesus
Leo.
Christ.
I'm not gonna, I can't be bothered to look through this.
No.
But yeah, anyway, moving on. Tell me your story.
Yeah, okay, well, moving on. I will watch any fucking scary film, and generally I'll be fine. There'll be the odd one or two where it creeps me out. Horror mazes and horror walkthrough things I've never ever ever been very good at. I found them far more intensely terrifying, because obviously you're there in front of you, and we've had lots of conversations about how horror games are scarier than horror films, because it's like you're making the decisions, it's all happening to you. So, with that in mind, I booked an escape room experience for me and Lisa, and it was called Ouija. It's down in Bournemouth, and I just thought, ah, it'll be all right. There'll be a couple of scares. I'll be fine. We'll get through it.
Please tell me you cried.
Well, basically, we got there, and the guy goes, "Yeah, here's your waiver." He came outside, scorching hot day, and it was like it's a whole house. This thing, and not that anyone listening to this is going to be worried about spoilers about what happens in this house, but basically we went in, and first thing you do is like, oh, okay, we're in. It's pitch black. It's really, really dark. Very low light, and the guy would just say he's doing the voiceover stuff down like a voice distorter, so he sounds all creepy and stuff. And so we do the first room, like look through an armchair, pull out a stick, find a hook in the ceiling, get a code for a padlock, go through to the next room, blah blah blah. We solve all the puzzles in that room. And at this point, I'm like, okay, this is manageable, but only just. Like there wasn't a single point I was enjoying it, but I was like, well, you know, it's Lisa's birthday. She likes this sort of thing. She was getting really into it because it's like crystal maze, and she loves that. So then I start. We do this room, and one of the tasks we have to do is find two tennis balls, and then on one of the walls there's this funnel, which clearly it's where the tennis balls are supposed to go. So yeah. We find these two tennis balls, and you know, with my video game head on, phoom, pop them straight in the fingers. The fuck did you do that for? I was like, oh no, I did a bad thing. And he was like, right, go on, unlock the padlock. So it took us about 15 minutes to unlock one padlock, because we could not work out what we were supposed to do. So he must have been really wound up. So then we go through, round a corner into the next room, and he says, right, undo the padlock, open the door, unlock the padlock, don't push the door. So undo the padlock, open the door, walk in, there's a bookshelf, there's a typewriter, and a sofa. And the bookshelf is on the wall adjacent to the door. So if you, if you open the door, you walk through, there's a wall on your left and the bookshelf's there. So the guy comes over and says, find three playing cards. So we look around the room, we find these three playing cards. He goes, right, turn them over, and on the three respective cards are the words Martin, Chuzzlewit, Dickens. So I'm like, ah, it will be Martin Chuzzlewit by Charles Dickens. That's how fucking clever I am. So he goes, okay. So I go, right, so I go over to the bookshelf, grab the book, flick through the page, there's a little key. And prior to this, while I was looking for the book, I noticed there was a tiny little door, like on the middle shelf, so I'd have to crouch down. And so I take this key out. As soon as the guy sees that I've got this key, he goes, bookshelf, 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 bookshelf. So I'm like, okay, I'll probably go to the fucking bookshelf. So I wander over to the bookshelf, crouch down, go to put this key in this tiny lock, and remembering that the door is adjacent to the bookshelf, this cunt in a mask charges out at me, shouting and screaming. I turn at him, scream, and fall on the floor. Lights go down. So I'm like, what the fuck was that? And like, my favourite thing in the world is making people jump. My least favourite thing in the world is being made to jump, because I get properly angry about it. So I was like, oh, for fuck's sake. Scared the absolute shit out of me. Lisa's behind me, she's crouched down as well, like clinging on to me. So then the lights come up a little bit, and I turn around, and the guy still stood behind me, and I just sort of went, hello. So, and then I see him walk off towards the door, and the lights go down again, and my heart is literally going like that. So I'm absolutely shit scared. I had a quick look at my Fitbit, and like, I think my heart rate was saying, like, you should be having a heart attack right now. So then I'm like, okay, that really wasn't fun. And there's all this intense music going on, like proper scary shit. And I was like, as I said, I'm not good with horror stuff like that, and I'm not enjoying this in the slightest. So I go, for fuck's sake. So I go, right, okay. And the guy goes, stand up. So I'm like, okay. And I get to my feet, and I'm shaking, and I'm sweating, and I'm swearing. I'm like, right, let's just get this key in there. Bang! Guy's behind the fucking door. He runs out again. So there's me again, screaming, fall over again. And I go, oh, you fucking cunt. And we're on the floor, Lisa's fallen over again, and she comes up to me like in my ear, goes, I don't think you should have sworn at him. And I was like, slightly more pressing matters. So now I'm having a full on fucking panic attack. I'm shitting myself. So I'm like, Lise, I absolutely cannot do this. I need to get out of it. Please, please, can we just get the fuck out? I'm not enjoying this at all. And she was really good about it. She's like, are you absolutely sure? Because it's like, you know, we're only in like the third room or something. There's a few more to go. Are you sure you can't just want to? And I was like, if he does that again, I will poo and throw up. I can't fucking do it. So he goes, okay, so right, we're going to get out. And he went, go over the top. He was like, aw. He goes, right, go to the main entrance. So we go out and he comes out and he goes, oh, are you all right? And he gives me a bottle of water. And I'm going, no, I'm not fucking all right. Something twatting a mask just came and fucking ran out and jumped out at me. Honestly, one of the fucking scariest things I've ever been through. And then, make matters worse, we get out and I'm still shaking and everything. And door opens, bright sunny day, I can't fucking see, so it's blind and everything. And I turn to Lisa and go, I'm really sorry, but I just freaked out. It just reminded me, because I've told you about The Woman in Black, haven't I? Like, how much, like, that book fucked my childhood up, because I was so scared of this book. I was like, I just regressed to that state, and I was just absolutely terrified. And she was like, yeah, it's fine. I'm like, don't say that. So now I'm like, oh, shit, I've let you down. But at the same time, I'm so relieved that we've got out. So we walk back to the car, because with a view to... we'd made a picnic out, so we were going to go down to the beach and have a little picnic afterwards. And I got in the car and I was feeling so overwhelmed and still really scared and still so guilty, I couldn't cope with it. And you fucking guessed it from the get go, I burst into fucking tears.
Oh, that sounds awful, but at the same time, I fucking wish I was there.
I know, I was thinking at the time, I was like, Jesus Christ, if Rich was looking at this, I'd never ever living this down. He's dining on this for the rest of my fucking life.
You wouldn't have got out of that building because you'd have had to be dragging me, because I would have been rolling around on the floor crying.
Well, the guy,
but not sad tears, they'd be happy tears with like the I was filming this.
The dude said, he was like, look, we get a lot of people who do it, you know, in groups, because you can do it in groups of 2 to 6, and they say, if there's more of you, it's less scary. When it's 2 of you, it's properly intense. So it's understandable that. And I was like, yeah, thanks. It's not helping. I still feel like a twat. But yeah, I couldn't deal with it. I really, really could not deal with it. But then the guy was like, oh, if you come back and you still feel the same, you can just come in the control room with me. And I'll be like, right, fucking up for that.
It's the thing, there's something I really want to do at some point, but I don't know if I'd actually want to do a horror one.
That's what I've learned. I'd love to do a proper escape room, but I'd never do a horror one again, because I just can't cope. A Harry Potter one, I'd be fucking well up for. Because
apparently, I don't know if I read it right, but I think there might be one coming to London. The UK. Possibly, yeah. Probably London.
Yeah, no, I think you told me about that recently. But there you go. I thought on this episode of episodes where we're doing like comedy and horror, I thought and I'm over it now, because like it properly fucked me up for like a week. I was still feeling that residual guilt, and I was not having a good week. And then we went to have this picnic, and I was like, Lisa, I need to have a drink. So we went, I had a beer, and Lisa was like, oh, should we just go home? And I was like, oh, I just felt so awful for having spoiled her fucking day, because I'm such a pussy. But
mate, next time just send. I'll take her to a horror escape room, and it'll be fine.
Yeah, you can fucking deal with that, definitely. But I think I'm gonna message the guy.
Do you know what will happen?
Go on.
It's the same fucking thing. That's gonna be like, nope, I can't. I gotta go. But it'll be the first room
where nothing happens.
Yeah, just this room is a bit dark.
I've completely forgotten the first bit. Right, the first room. There's an armchair, there's a hook in the ceiling, there's some sticks and that. But something else I didn't mention, there's a letterbox in the wall. So there's me with a stick with a hook on the end of it, and there's this letterbox. So I spent about 10 minutes just digging about this letterbox with a stick, and the guy's just going, the fuck are you doing? But yeah, I've managed to find the funny side of it now. It took me a lot of time, but I'm like,
Oh no, it would not have taken me long to find the funny side of that. Mostly because it happened to you.
Mate, this guy. Oh, anyway, so that was my special horror escape room story.
And now, onto the special horror main event.
Oh, yes! Okay, go on then. You can do this one.
As someone who has only seen the first two Evil Dead films, I haven't seen Army of Darkness.
Have you not?
No, because we started watching them as a collective at university.
Did we?
And then, yeah, we watched 1 and 2. And then no one else wanted to watch Army of Darkness, so we didn't get to.
You're kidding. I have absolutely no memory. I mean, I've seen all of those films so many times, but I don't remember watching them at uni. All of us.
We watched them at Jack's. I think it was me, you and Jack, or me, you, Jack and Zara.
Okay. Yeah, anyway. So, Ash vs. Evil Dead. What is Ash vs. Evil Dead?
Well, basically, it's Ash from Evil Dead.
Yep.
Fighting
uh-huh.
more Evil Dead.
No way.
Because as if there were not enough Evil Dead for him to fight.
Oi, pack it in. Never enough Evil Dead.
But there's more. There's always more because they'll always find him.
Yeah.
Because from what I understand, it's basically when he gets drunk and he's just like, there's a girl that likes poetry. And he's just like, I'll read some poetry. I remember there's something about this book. Something about it. I need to... is it always read from the book or never read from the book? Always read from the book.
Those two things. It's so difficult. I think the thing that, like... I think I find really endearing about Ash is he's just a fucking moron. And I can relate. It's like... You've been right. So you've had all your friends killed from you reading from this book, and you've lost your arm.
And you fucking keep it. Kept it.
Like he cut off his own hand. He goes through a portal, goes back to the 13th century, has a whole siege where he fights an army of them, and he just goes, "Oh, I'll do it again."
Do you know what? I want to hang on to this. This might come in handy. I'll read some poetry. I might get lucky. I got too lucky, or the Evil Dead are back. This is just, like, in comparison to Van Helsing, this is everything horror should be.
This is how you do fucking horror TV shows. Basically, Sam Raimi, when he was making The Evil Dead, said that The Evil Dead is basically a Three Stooges movie, but instead of custard pies, we use a fuckload of blood. And I'm like, that's exactly what it is. But it trod that line of being really scary, but really funny at the same time. And I think while this is kind of a little bit of a remake of the film, again, it's kind of the same story.
Well, it's basically like a longer Evil Dead film. It's just like Evil Dead for the long one.
There is a comic series of like Evil Dead and Army of Darkness that continues. But I'm not read it. I think I've read like the Marvel Zombies thing. One of them brings in Ash, which is kind of cool.
See, what I really liked is that even as someone like I've seen the film once, and I was just like, yes, this is everything I wanted. Because like it was incredible. It was very funny.
Yeah.
Had all those moments that make you just go, Ash, why? And then all those sort of like moments that make you go, oh, they just want to, like, he just has people who are just like, we just want to be your friends. Yeah. Can you save us from the Evil Dead?
But equally...
Mostly we want to be your friends.
But equally, there are some genuinely scary scenes. Like, didn't scare me because I don't get scared of anything as I've just described. But it's absolutely what I wanted the continuation of Evil Dead to be. In the pilot so far, I don't know about the rest of the series because obviously we've not got around to that bit.
I fully imagine that this is going to be that quality all the way through seasons 1 and 2.
Yeah, if they can sustain it, if they can sustain this level of quality and humour and horror and gore. Like, I'd forgot, like, it's been a while since I've watched proper gory shit. Like, I forgot how much I love a good bloodbath.
Yeah. What I want to happen is basically that he resolves this problem in season one. He sorts this Evil Dead shit out. And then in the first episode of season two, there's a bit where he gets a bit drunk. He's trying to get lucky, but with two women this time, because they'll basically be... how many women he tries to bang in the first episode is the season. So first season one girl. Season two girls. Season 10, he's trying to start an orgy and accidentally makes them all Evil Dead and has to fucking chainsaw his way out. My absolute favourite thing is that he has, like, still has the chalk line around the chainsaw where he's kept it on the wall. That's my favourite thing of all of it.
You've got to have that.
Like, that's in games. Like, so many games have reference to that. I think that one that you really like, not Left 4 Dead.
Wait, Dead Space?
No, the actual horror game that you like.
Resident Evil?
The video camera one. Fucking, what's it called?
Outlast.
That has a reference to it in it.
Does it?
Yeah, there's a shed somewhere off it that you can go that has... And if you look through the night vision of the camera, you can see the outline of a chainsaw.
Really? I didn't know that. That's fucking amazing.
It's beautiful. I'll find a video of it for you or something at some point. Because it's...
Okay. Yeah, I thought
you'd have found it, Jet, but, you know, you're shit.
You're shit and you run out of scary houses. There's so many references to the other, even to the point where when he explains to Pablo what happens, you have footage from the old film.
Yeah, and not Army of Darkness though.
No, I think there's.
They were all scenes that I recognised. All scenes that I recognised. I was like, where the fuck is he not going to mention the whole like time travel thing?
You'd like Army of Darkness. Next time you're down, we'll have to watch it because I want to watch. I want to watch all of them again.
What I like though is that it's self-referential, just because it's like, look at all this shit that I did, now chainsaw, rim rim, dead. But it was so good. And I like the bit where he's just like, yeah, I'm out. Like, I'm just gonna leave. That's easier. I like when he drops all the light bulbs as well.
That Bruce Campbell, he just has, like, in his physical movement is connected to my funny bone. Like, the number of movies I've seen him in, like, where he's just fucking brilliant at the physical acting. Like, he's really good at acting in pain. He's really good at acting just fucking dumb as shit. Like, when he lifts up that box and the light bulbs fall down... I was just cracking up. I was genuinely laughing.
Yeah, it was... It's very funny. But I like that it's trying to have, like, a serious, like, police side to it.
Yeah, it's like, that's kind of weak-ish. But I suppose it gives them a chance to do, like, some proper horror shit. You know?
Well, it gives them a chance to sort of point out that this isn't a normal thing that's going on.
Yeah.
Because for Ash, it's kind of like this shit again. But to everyone else, it's like, the fuck is going on? Like, this guy from the electronics store, he walk around, chainsaw on his hand. No one understands why. But he's written a speech at the back of the book, and he's going to read that to them, and then it's all going to get much worse. Because he hasn't translated it.
I mean, it's interesting that we picked these two shows for this week, because Van Helsing, probably the, maybe even the most important film that I ever saw. And I know it's bullshit now. I went back and watched it like a few years ago, and it is shit. It's really bad. Like, I can see the flaws in it much better than I did when I was like 12. And this, Evil Dead, is one of my favourite horror movies ever. So it's nice that, well, what it would have been nice that this sort of legacy that brings them together, they're both so important properties to my life. Like, I have a fucking Evil Dead tattoo.
Yeah. See, I picked these two because I knew how much you liked the films.
I saw
Van Helsing, and I was like,
yes.
Joe likes that shit. Ash vs. the Evil Dead.
Yes.
Joe likes that shit. What could go wrong? Van Helsing is what could go wrong. But I would say, as someone who is a passive Evil Dead fan, I think that I might prefer the TV shows to the film. Like, this, so far, what I've seen of this, I think it could be better.
I can better understand. Than the films. I can totally understand why. But those films are just, they're so special to me. Like, especially Evil Dead 2. Like,
I think it's just, so for me, I think it's just that there's more, you get to spend more time with it. I think that's all that I prefer. Because, like, the sense of humour is consistent. The style is consistent. And Bruce Campbell is consistent as fuck.
Yeah, he is.
But fantastic. I think just because you get to spend longer with it, I think, for me, that maybe makes it better.
Well, that's only a good thing. Have you, you're probably not aware, Bruce Campbell's got an audio, well, he's got a couple now, but he did an audiobook for a sort of semi-autobiographical novel that he wrote.
No, I was not aware.
It's fantastic. It's called Make Love the Bruce Campbell Way. And I'll try and get you a copy of it because it's so good. Also, I didn't realize that I realized them when I first sort of was getting into Evil Dead. I was watching, like, you know, this guy Bruce Campbell and everything, and then he spoke, and I was like, I fucking know that voice, and he's the narrator from the Spider-Man games. The ones, because he's in both of them, because they're both Sam Raimi. That blew my mind. It's like, oh shit, I definitely know that voice.
Yeah, he's probably done, maybe. I know, it is literally just Evil Dead and Spider-Man. That's all the game. I know, he's done some Hellboy stuff.
He was in Burn Notice, I think, as well. Like, the TV
show. He's in Poker Night 2. Playing Ash Williams.
Oh yeah, I always thought that was weird that you could just be Ash just for a fucking poker game. I think he
voices a zombie in Call of Duty.
Does he?
Yeah.
I know there's like a couple of Evil Dead games, and I'm not sure if he did the voice for that. I'm pretty sure he did.
He did, yeah. This is life, man.
I love Bruce Campbell. Like, I bought a box set that was just called the Bruce Campbell box set, and it's like four shit B movies that he starred in. One of them, he plays Elvis, where him as Elvis and JFK, who is black, are in a retirement home and a mummy comes to attack them.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, it fucking is.
But I think I might buy the rest of this and watch it.
Will you buy the digital thing, or will you get the DVDs?
That's a good question. I might get the DVDs, you know.
Can I answer this question?
Have you already got them?
That was the sound of me hitting the microphone with my DVDs of Ash vs. the Evil Dead, which turned up today, because I was 10 minutes into the episode yesterday, and I just fucking ordered them.
Nice. Did you get Seasons 1 and 2?
I didn't know 2 was out.
Season 2 started airing.
Oh, right, so the DVDs are now.
In December last year.
Oh, shit, okay.
It finished in December last year.
Oh, fuck! Oh, it's been released in August. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it'll be back in October, probably, I imagine.
I nearly bought figure. I was in Forbidden Planet the other day, and I nearly bought a pop figure of Ash from Ash vs. Evil Dead.
Why not?
Like, I'm running out of money.
That's fair. That is a fair reason to not do things like buying stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I was really pleased that it was everything I wanted it to be, and I cannot wait to watch more of it.
I wonder if there's any like other characters from Evil Dead of past.
What, that turn up?
Yeah.
I mean,
cool.
He's sort of the only memorable one. Like, there's a because pretty much the whole idea of the films is he's the only one that survives.
Yeah, but wouldn't it be cool if someone just came back and was like, yo, survived.
If they brought back Evil Ash, because you need to watch up. Right, next time you come down, we'll watch Army of Darkness, because you need to see Evil Ash, because that whole film is just fucking... It's like Game of Thrones, but with Evil Dead. There's a whole there's a castle siege. He goes on a quest. There's, like, little versions of him. There's a bit where he has to say the words to a book, and he gets it fucking wrong.
Why can't he get the spells to bring the Evil Dead wrong?
Because he's a fucking idiot.
Yeah, but he's a lovable idiot.
In fairness, in the first two, it's played on like a tape recorder, so it's not actually him. But then in Army of Darkness and Ash vs. Evil Dead, it's fucking him. So I think after this podcast, I'm gonna go and watch another one. I'm gonna get a beer and I'm just gonna sit down. I'm gonna crack through. That's the other thing. I will say that for these two shows, they're both 45 minutes long, and that's really refreshing to be able to just crack through an episode and it not feel like it takes up a huge chunk of your night or whatever.
Do you know what? I'm really fucking glad that you liked Ash vs. the Evil Dead.
Not half as glad as I was, because if I hated Van Helsing, and then I hated Evil Dead as well.
See, Van Helsing I can understand, because it's not based on, like, classic Helsing. But Ash vs. the Evil Dead, if they'd fucked that up,
yeah,
that would have been sad.
That would have been it.
But what I'm going to do is go away after this, and I'm going to write Helsing and Dracula, the teenage years. That's what we're calling it. It's going to be a comedy.
I like the sound of it. I look forward to watching that.
They're going to... I think the reason they hate each other is because they were in love.
Aww.
With each other.
Isn't that sweet?
And then Ash turned up, read out of a book, and now one of them's a vampire.
I like it. I like it a lot.
And twist, Van Helsing's the vampire.
Holy shit.
Minds have been blown. But yeah, I'm going to watch the rest of Ash vs. the Evil Dead at
Yay.
Some point.
Yay! Wicked.
And probably pretend that Van Helsing never happened.
Yep, that's exactly what I'm going to do. Okay, cool. That was a successful episode, half of it, wasn't it? What have we got coming up? Next time, we are doing...
Two TV shows!
Yes! About women.
Oh, which women?
I'm pretty sure it's about women.
Is it, Bitch in Apartment 23?
I would love to answer this question. I am struggling to find the document, and I'm just padding, to be quite honest with you.
You've literally just said they're about women.
Yeah, I know, but I couldn't remember what the other one was. Oh yeah, okay, I've got it now.
New Girl.
Yes.
New Girl and Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23.
Woo, woo!
I don't even have the document.
Oh, well done.
I do all the background shit. Literally, all Joe does is turn up, chat shit for an hour, and then he's ooped.
Yeah.
After he's uploaded his audio, though.
Yeah, that's all I do. It's because I can only stand being this sweaty for 49 minutes.
That's fair. What if... Oh, it's over 49 minutes now, you're fucked.
Ah, shit.
But,
it's like Gremlins. I'm going to turn nasty.
Nastier.
Okay. We'll see you when we do the one about girls and shit then.
Yes.
Bye!